This is a reading from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Father, may our desire to go equal that of the disciples, as well as our desire to make disciples. Help us, Lord, to take this command as seriously as any of the other commandments that we know, so that we may do these things for the greater glory of your holy name, that we might stand before you, Lord, someday and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Bless us, Lord, today, even though we may sense or feel that we're not worthy. But yet, Lord, we know that you make us worthy. And for that, Lord, we are eternally grateful. We give you thanks for your mercy, your grace, your love that is constantly being poured out upon us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A drunk stumbled across a baptismal service that was being held one Sunday afternoon down by a river. And as he stood there watching, he started to make his way down into the river, and he found himself standing right next to the minister. And the minister turned to him and said, "Mister, have you found Jesus?" And the drunk said, "Nope, no I didn't, preacher, no I didn't." And so the preacher dunked him under the water, held him there for a few seconds, brought him back up and said, "Have you found Jesus yet?" And the man said, "No, I have not, preacher, I have not found Jesus." So he dunked him in under the water again, held him a little bit longer, brought him back up, and the minister said, "Have you found Jesus now?" And the man said, "No, I did not, preacher. I did not find Jesus." So the preacher dunked him one more time and held him under for about 25 seconds. He brought him back up. That man was spitting water all over the place. And the preacher, minister asked him, "Have you found Jesus?" And the drunk said, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" People today are confused about their faith. They think it's a Sunday only thing. They're confused about Jesus. They're not sure exactly all that he came to do and their part in what he came to do. They're confused about the gospel. And last week we took a look at these verses, and we took a look at just one word, and that word was go. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations," verse 19 says. As I said last week, whenever you see the word "therefore," you have to find out what it's there for. And "therefore" comes after verse 18, when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And what Jesus was saying, he says, "I have all the power to rule. I have all the power to command. And because I have this power to rule and this power to command, I am telling you to go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus said, "Go." And in the Greek, that word "go" means having gone to pursue a journey. In other words, Jesus assumed that his followers would go. And as I said last week, it isn't just about going to South America, it is telling us to do what he's telling us to do. Make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. He never told the world to come to the church, in a sense, but he tells the church to go to the world. And he's telling us to go to the world. In the book of Numbers, Numbers 10, verse 2, God tells Moses to make two trumpets of hammered silver. He doesn't tell him to rent the trumpets. He doesn't tell them to buy the trumpets. He doesn't say, go to another church and get the trumpets. He tells Moses, make two trumpets hammered of silver. Those trumpets were to be used for calling the people together, calling the leaders together, and also sending the people forth to go. In a sense, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20 is our trumpet call, where God is telling us to go forth. He's not telling us to rent another church people to do this. He's not telling us to borrow another church people to do this. He's not telling us to buy and pay for another church to do this. He's telling us to do this. So after all of that, let me encourage you to take that sheet we just read, turn it over, and take some notes this morning so that we might grow and be more like Jesus. Sometime later this week, I ask you to take that sheet, look it over, and get those things in your heart. Let me ask you a question. Why are we here? Why are we here? Learn more about Jesus. To worship him. Show people. How about this? We are to make disciples. Isn't that what it says? Go and make disciples. We're to make disciples. Who? Well, the pastor, of course. All of us. That was given. Those were the last instructions that Jesus gave the church before he ascended to heaven. Those were the last words that he said before he ascended to heaven. But we live at a time when we sometimes create our own view of faith and things like that. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, that's not the end. When you make a decision to come to Christ and you ask Christ into your heart, you ask Christ into your life, that is not the end. It's only the beginning. It's a beginning of a life of discipleship. It's the beginning of a life of discipleship. We are to make disciples of all nations, of all nations. And as I said very, very quickly last week, and I said this very quickly, that word nations in the Greek does not mean nations. You're saying, but it says nations. I know. That's our English translation. In the Greek, this is what it really means. Go and make disciples of all people. The Greek, the word is ta ethne. Go and make disciples of all people. Look at all those people up there. Go and make disciples of all people everywhere. Everywhere. Make disciples. I'm going to tell you a secret. Don't tell anybody. That's what I'm trying to do every Sunday. But don't tell anybody I said that. Every Sunday, that's what I'm trying to do. Make disciples. But all of us, we're to be doing that. We're to make disciples of all nations. But before we make disciples, we must be one. We must be one. Thousands of people refer to themselves as Christians today. Thousands. Thousands of people refer themselves as... Let me ask you another question. And if you can answer this question, Bob, how much will you give them today? Five what?
$5.
Okay. Does anybody know how many times the word Christian is found in the New Testament? I did not hear the correct answer. Does it count, Bob, if I give the right answer? Do I get $5 if I give the right answer? No? No. Okay. It is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament, the word Christian. 3 times in the New Testament. Twice in the book of Acts, and once in 1 Peter. Now, guess how many times the word disciple is used in the New Testament. How many think 25 times? How many think 50? How many think 100? Nobody's thinking today. I don't see any hands. There are no thinkers here today. times in the New Testament. Before followers of Christ ever called themselves Christians, they referred to themselves as disciples. As disciples. In a way, in a sense, a Christian and a disciple should be the same thing. But when you look at the word disciple, it means something very, very distinct. In the Greek, it's mathetes, mathetes. And it means a pupil, a student, one who's taught. So the word disciple means a student. At its very core, at the very core of understanding and meaning, a disciple is a student of Jesus. A student of Jesus. I don't know if you may or may not know this, that scribes during the time of Jesus, Pharisees during the time of Jesus, they had disciples in their culture. Do you know that when you were a disciple of a scribe, you left your home and you followed that disciple everywhere? It's been a long time since I talked about this issue. I wasn't going to say this part today, but it just came to my mind, so I'm going to tell you anyway. They followed their leader. They did everything he did. It went, and this is going to sound a little gross, it even went so far, and I'm not kidding you, I've read this about the culture, that they even went so far, they watched their leader, how he went bathroom, and they wanted to follow that the same way. That's how much they followed their leader. That's how much they did. Even that. Of course, Jesus had 12 apostles. He had many disciples, but he had 12 apostles. And they followed him everywhere. So at the very core, the word disciple means a student of Christ. It begs the question, can I be a Christian if I'm not a disciple? That's a question, isn't it? It's a good one. Can I be a Christian if I'm not a disciple? Can I be a disciple and a Christian? Of course, because a disciple is doing the things a Christian should do. I'll let you think on that one a bit. A discipleship focuses on three main aspects. One, the mind. Because if a disciple is a student of Jesus, the mind has to be involved. Your mind must be involved. And I've oftentimes said this, that when someone asks Jesus into their heart, because you hear that today, well, I've asked Jesus into my heart. That is, what exactly does that mean? I asked Jesus into my heart. Does that mean, oof? And of course, it's part of it. You get all those warm fuzzies and you look kind of glow all over the place. But whenever it was spoken of the heart back during the time of Jesus, that spoke of, I've asked Jesus into my mind. I asked Jesus into my speech. I asked Jesus into my hands. I asked Jesus into my feet. He's in control of every part of who I am. I'm not so sure that's the understanding today when people ask Jesus into their heart, but it certainly is the meaning of that. The mind must know and understand the truth. What is it that Jesus taught? You cannot ask Jesus into your heart without taking into account what he had to say and what he had to teach. Because what he had to say and what he had to teach describes who he is. What he had to say and what he had to teach describes who he is. And so often today, I think what happens is we do the American view of Christianity. We ask him into our heart, and then we kind of mosey along and kind of make it up as we go along. But Jesus teaches and speaks very emphatically in Scripture. And that's why the Scriptures need to be so much a part of our life as we wish to become a Christian and a disciple, or as it was called for so long, disciple. Second, a discipleship envelops the heart. The heart must embrace that truth. You bring it in. You bring it in here. You don't bring it here. You can have it up here and not have any passion for Jesus. You can have head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. And God wants us to have head knowledge and heart knowledge so that we're passionate for him. The heart must embrace the truth. And third, the will involves the will. The will does the truth. It does the truth. In other words, it says, I will. It's not about feeling. It is not about emotions. The will has to do volition. It is a choice that we make. I choose to follow Christ. It is the seat of obedience. It is the seat of obedience. Discipleship is not a program. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. It's how I live my life. I make that decision to follow Jesus with my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. You know, today when they did a survey, when Christians were asked if the word discipleship had any relevance in their lives, 3/4 of Christians said no. And of course, they don't understand what they're saying because they don't understand what Jesus was teaching in discipleship. 3/4 said no. It was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching her class about the Israelites being led out of Egypt. And so she asked her third grade class, does anybody know who led the Israelites out of Egypt? And no one raised their hand. None of the children raised their hand. And then she pointed to one little boy in the back of the class. That little boy said, teacher, it wasn't me. We just moved here from Canada. Our response to God's free gift of grace and mercy, and it is a free gift. Perhaps you didn't realize, you may be sitting there, you don't realize that I have to do more, I have to work hard. Well, yes, if we're Christians, we should be doing that. But there is nothing you can do to earn your salvation. You can't work harder to please God, that is, to earn your salvation. You can work harder to please him and live that life, but you cannot earn your salvation. You can't work your way into heaven. Jesus did the work. He did the work. We must take hold of him in our life and live for him. The act of following Christ is an ongoing means for us. We're called to believe. We're called to belong. We're called to go, and we're called to make. There's a young picture of Billy Graham there. And I love what he has to say. He says, being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ. Jesus understood the importance of making disciples. Because discipleship, as I said, was very popular back then. The scribes, Pharisees, they all had disciples. And he understood the importance of discipleship and how important it was. It was so important, and as I said already, it was so important, he wanted to make sure that we understood what he said. And we have these last words that he said, go and make disciples of all people, of all people. So, let us now take a look at some characteristics of what it means to be a disciple. And I kind of have a list of things here, and I hope this isn't too tedious for you. But for me, I look at these and I go, wow, some characteristics of what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is a believer. A disciple is a believer. A disciple is someone who responds to Jesus' unconditional call to come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will make you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And today, I think maybe we have more people who are weary and burdened. And as a result, them being so weary and burdened in our culture and society, they're going off in all kind of directions because they don't realize what they're doing, I think, sometimes. Two, disciples are made. Disciples are made. We talked about this Wednesday night. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you. I will make you fishers of men. Disciples are made. And it means to make ready. Jesus said, I'll make you ready. I'll prepare you. I'll bring it all about if you will sit at my feet. And if you'll learn and study from me and be a student of me. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It's an active voice, which means that Jesus is the one who will do it. If we let him, if we make ourselves available. Three, a disciple continues in God's word. A disciple continues in God's word. And I want to encourage you again. It's been a while. I used to say this all the time. Please, listen to what I'm telling you. I know. I'm old man Zoller. And for those, if you're visiting, you don't know what I'm talking about. When I was a little boy, we had a neighbor. His name was Zoller. Everyone called him old man Zoller. Every time he said something, he would say, I know. I'm old man Zoller. Let me please all of you parents. Have a time where you get together with your children. Read scripture with them. Pray with them. Do this every day. As I have said in the past, we used to do this after supper. And it's hard if the kids are little because they're kids and their eyes go here and they go there. Stay at it. Stay at it. Start with them while they're young. You may not feel comfortable doing it. You're reading scripture. Maybe just say, you don't have to read a whole bit, just a couple sentences. Say a couple words about it and pray with them. Pray with them. Get that in them. Get that in their hearts. John 8:31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold, which means continuing, remaining, if you continue in my teaching, you are really my disciples. And of course, what that is saying is, if you're not continuing, then, For a disciple bears spiritual fruit. John 15:8. This is to my Father's glory, Jesus says, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As we are producing fruit in our lives, so that people can see. I know I say this every so often. One of the last things I say as I come, Lord, I want people to see Jesus in me. I want people to see Jesus in me. You know, look at our sports teams today. How many football teams, and we're coming to football, and I really like football. How many football teams are called the Lambs? The Pittsburgh Lambs. The Cincinnati Lambs. the Oakland Lambs. No team wants to be called that, but a Christian is a lamb. That is, lambs followed their leader. 5, a disciple demonstrates Christ's love for others. A disciple demonstrates Christ's love for others. John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If you love one another. It's been a long time since I've said this or asked you this, both of these. But Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. But I don't know about you, but I ask questions when I read. And I can remember many, many years ago, how can that be a new commandment? Because it's mentioned in the Old Testament. There's nothing new about it. It's in the Old Testament. A new commandment I give you, Jesus said. Love one another, here we go, as I have loved you. Get it? How does he want us? How's it a new commandment? He's saying, I don't want you to just love. How did Jesus love? He died for us. He died for us. 6, a disciple follows Jesus sacrificially. Luke 14:27. Everyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Yow. Anyone who does not carry his cross. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Christians don't like to read that one, but it's there. 7, a disciple makes disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. A pastor, a doctor, and an engineer were playing golf one Sunday. Excuse me, we're playing golf, not one Sunday morning. They were playing golf. Yesterday, I was at a function, and some of you people were there, and I said to them, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to come to church tomorrow because it's going to be really hot. And they didn't take me seriously, and I hope they didn't anyway, because that would not keep me away. Not much would unless I was really, really sick. But a pastor, a doctor, and an engineer were playing golf one day. And every hole they came to, they had to wait at least 10 minutes for the group that was in front of them. It took them that long, the group in front of them, to hit through. And you can imagine, those of you who are golfers, that's not much fun. Every hole, you're done, but you got to stand around 10 minutes waiting for those ahead of you to go. Every single hole. And so a groundskeeper came along, and they asked him, what is wrong with that group ahead of us? Every hole, we've had to wait 10 minutes for them. And the groundskeeper said, well, that's a little group of firemen. They're blind. And they got blind from putting out a fire in our clubhouse last year, and we let them play anytime they want to. And the minister said, well, that is very sad, and I'm going to make sure I'm praying for them very diligently. The doctor said, I'm going to talk to my doctor friends and see what we can do to help them to get some vision. The engineer said, what I want to know is, why can't they play at night? Each of the men saw the same firemen, but each saw something different. They each saw the same thing, yet each one had a different response to what they saw. We know the Great Commission. But perhaps Christianity calls it the Great Omission. But it is the Great Commission for all of us. I want to share with you some things that I talked about last week. And if you're visiting, If you're visiting, well, let me share some things. You can help six ways, and I shared four of these things last week. You can help six ways. How can we fulfill the Great Commission? How can you be a part of this? What can we do? Help to make Pastor Stephen a full-time pastor. And last week I said, if you're visiting, I'm saying the same thing. If you're visiting, I never talk about money. If you visit here more than a few times, unless it's in the scripture or when we have a congregational meeting. But I am making an appeal to you. We need to bring Pastor Stephen on full time. As I said last week, he's no spring chicken anymore. He's 38. He works part time and he works hard. He does an awful lot. And he works full time in another job and part time, which is almost, well, he does an awful lot. He does what full time pastors work load is. I want you to consider your checkbook. Just consider it. If you're not giving, will you consider giving? If you just give a little bit, will you increase that a little bit? If you're not tithing but you're able to, will you consider tithing? I do. I know many of you do. I'm not going to talk about that next week, the week after that. So please, help to sponsor the Ferguson family. They came up here last week, and they told you what they're going to be doing. They're away for these next couple of weeks. They're going to be missionaries. We're sponsoring them here. I mentioned last week that we used to sponsor the Mateer family, and Loretta told me last week, I knew them. Loretta says, I knew the Mateer family. I said, you did? How did you know them? And it was kind of neat to hear that. And they're retired. We used to sponsor a church down in Jamaica, not in the nice place. I led two mission trips down there, and we found a pastor down there, but things kind of disappeared there, and we're not doing that. So this is great for us that we can sponsor. Three, get involved in a ministry at Center Point. Last week, I showed about 24 ministries that we have here. I'm not going to show you all of that again. 24 ministries. Get involved. Time, talent, and treasure, the three T's. Time, give some time to Christ. Give your talents to Christ and your treasure. Four, actively invite people to worship. You know, we have so many people that are unchurched, so many people that need Christ in their life. So many. Five, intentionally become a disciple. Intentionally become a disciple because it takes intentionality. In other words, I am so glad you come to worship. And we have a lot of people out because it is summer vacation. I am so glad you come to worship at Center Point. But make it intentional. The things that you learned today, get them in here. Six, become part of Center Point's community. And what do I mean by that? Come closer. Come closer. A fellowship. Come closer. Get involved. We have so many good people. They will encourage you. They will lift you up. They will build you up. We live at a time where we're used to getting shot down all the time. They will build you up. They will lift you up. Anyway, musicians, I want to ask you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. We're going to sing just the chorus part of this. Please stand. You know, I'll tell you one more story. Didn't intend to tell it. There were two young women. Used to go to wild parties all the time. All the time. Then they got saved and came to Christ. Some of their friends, they invited them to come to another one of those wild parties and crazy parties. They replied, "We can't because we're dead." dead to sin and alive in Christ. Amen. Dead to sin and alive. That doesn't mean we never sin, but it means it hurts when we do. I want to encourage you. 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 You are good people. I know that. I know that. Lose a weight today, because I can't say to him, he's the only bad one here. And of course, he's not. He's a great guy. God bless all of you. The elders will be up front here to pray for any need that you may have. Pastor Stephen will be over here. If you don't know what it means to ask Christ into your heart, that you want to give your life to him, God does not make decisions based upon, he doesn't have a scale. He doesn't have, well, your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, which many people unfortunately think. Because if that were the case, we got into heaven ourselves. We didn't need Jesus. People today don't know why he really came. They know he died on the cross, but they don't know what that means. Pastor Stephen would love to tell you what that means. Will you dismiss us,
Pastor? Dear Father, we just thank you that we could take time to look at Jesus' words, Lord, to go and make disciples, Lord. We pray that here at Centerpoint that we will be making disciples, Lord. We pray that each and every one of us in our own lives, Lord, will be on that long walk of obedience to you, Lord, to become a disciple of Christ, Lord. Let us become more and more like you each day, Lord. Let us give of ourselves to you more and more, Lord. Ask a blessing on every single person here, Lord, and ask us in the precious name of Jesus, amen.